Now, Evangelist Winston Tye.
Thank you. The Word of God at Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for it is he that shall save his people from their sins. Here in this text, we discover God's conception of the world's need. When God sent his son into the world to save it from its sins, he both diagnosed its disease and prescribed the remedy for its cure. God has determined that sin is the cause of all our unhappiness and misery. We have been slow to recognize sin as responsible for our countless ills. The purpose of this gospel broadcast is to extend the saving influence of Jesus Christ. The power and influence of his life increase with the passing years. Who can ignore the magnetism of his life? What is the secret of his drawing power? Someone answers, he is a king. He is a king, and he sits upon a throne. Thousands have delighted to call him Lord, and thousands have followed him to death. Jesus was raised from the dead to sit on David's throne. Acts chapter 2, verses 30-31. It is a strange thing that this man who was brought up at the workbench and whose friends were poor should reign over and control the human heart. We remember that he is a great teacher. Jesus was and is the world's greatest teacher. Think what it would mean if the world should lose what Jesus taught. Never man so spake. John the 7th chapter and verse 46. He spake as one having authority. Matthew chapter 7 verse 29. Nicodemus was impressed with Jesus as a teacher. He said, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no one can do these signs that thou doest, except God be with him. Statesmen, philosophers, and scholars have honored themselves by sitting at his feet. It is not as a king or a teacher that he exercises his greatest influence. Jesus is best known as the world's Savior. The power of Jesus must continue to grow, because he saves his people from their sins. Jesus shed his blood that our sins might be forgiven. The death of Jesus reminds us of the enormity of sin. God loves us and would have all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. Let me say again that God has determined that sin is the cause of our unhappiness. We are busy dealing with other things that are supposed to be the source of all our sorrows. Much of what we do to bring happiness to the human race is an exercise in futility. First among our efforts is to deal with the condition of poverty. Without question, poverty is accompanied with great suffering and misery. There are many who think that it is the greatest of all misfortunes. If everybody had money, and if everybody was free from debt, the race would be happy. This is the view of the many. Poverty is regarded as the greatest misfortune, and wealth the greatest good fortune. When wealth is considered the chief thing to be desired, then materialism becomes dominant. Then all that is good and wholesome are sacrificed upon the altar of mammon. Life becomes cheap, and men seek their own selfish interests. Poverty is not the cause of our misery. God saw the world's poverty. It is not because men are poor that they are unhappy. It is not because of what they have not, but what they are not. It is because of sin that they are wretched, miserable, and poor. God sent His Son into the world, and He shall save men from their unhappiness by saving them from their sins. Inequality is thought to be another fruitful cause of unhappiness. It would be foolish to deny the existence of inequalities. One class is doing the world's work. Another class is free from toil. One class encounters poverty, while another is living in affluence. The socialists are saying inequality is the cause of all this trouble. Remove it, and we will restore happiness to the world. We must remember that inequality in social conditions is not greater than inequality in natural endowment. The difference in station or endowment is not a factor in our unhappiness. We cannot deny or ignore the difference between the members of the human body, yet they are united in perfect harmony and sympathetic cooperation. It is the selfish spirit in man that leads to hatred and prejudice. Sin is discord. God knew that the constant cause of unhappiness in the world is sin. Therefore, He sent Jesus into the world not to save it from inequality, but from its sins. Ignorance is thought to be another basic cause of unhappiness. Some of our friends take the position that the only remedy that man needs is education. To be in possession of facts as they pertain to science, literature, art, and sociology is advantageous. But it takes more than knowledge and culture to make a true man. The world's greatest need is to be put into the right relationship with God and man. To be saved from sin. Thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. Salvation from sin we have committed is promised when we believe and obey the Lord. We cannot be saved unless we believe in Christ, and we cannot be saved unless we obey Christ. I am always trying to teach men how to be saved. Jesus employed the words, be saved. These words presuppose salvation to be the gift of God, bestowed on certain conditions and placed within the reach of all nations. Jesus said, go unto all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Note, not shall get saved, but shall be saved. Be saved means to be saved from the penalty of sin committed to this time. It means pardon or forgiveness. How is this obtained? He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Jesus could not make it plainer. I cannot. But that makes baptism a condition of being saved from past sins. My friend, do you object to Jesus making it a condition of salvation? Do you question the wisdom of the Lord? Someone says, but what about the work of the Holy Spirit? The Word of God is the sword of the Spirit. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17. The Word of God is the instrument used by the Holy Spirit in the conviction and conversion of the sinner. The Holy Spirit does not exercise an influence over and above the Word of God. Jesus taught the necessity of belief and obedience in the salvation of the soul. The Apostle Paul was a preacher of the gospel. He said, woe is to me if I preach not the gospel. 1 Corinthians 9th chapter, verse 16. He thought of the gospel in terms of obedience. He declared, they have not all obeyed the gospel. It is a tragedy that men who profess to be preachers of the gospel do not preach the gospel, in that they refuse to preach the necessity of obedience in the salvation of the soul. We need to think of the passage in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7 and 9. Paul declared, "And to you that are afflicted, rest with us, at the revelation of the Lord Jesus from heaven, with the angels of his power in flaming fire, rendering vengeance to them that know not God, and to them that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus, who shall suffer punishment, even eternal destruction, from the face of the Lord and from the glory of his might." We should fear God and keep his commandments. We must obey the gospel or suffer punishment, and that punishment is eternal destruction. Have you obeyed the gospel? God bless you, my friend.